Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. John Schwartz is on. Hey, John, tell us what happened. What were you doing leading up to the attack?
We were filling up an inflatable, say, kiddie pool outside. I turned the water back on around 8 p.m. And as we sat here watching TV, about 8:45, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I need to go out and shut that water off.
Yeah, how big is that pool?
Right?
The neighborhood's full now.
I went to the front door and I noticed the motion light outside was on. It only comes on for 3 minutes. So I looked to my left on the porch and there was nothing there that would have triggered it. Usually it's a small, you know, raccoon or something after our cat food.
Yeah.
So I continued on my way to the garage through the garage door. Went into the garage. It was dark in there. I could not really see where I was going, but I knew if I took 5 steps or so, the spigot's on the left-hand side. So I bent down to turn the spigot off, and as soon as I grabbed a hold of the spigot, I heard a growl and a thrust, and I got thrown against a shelving unit in the garage, and I didn't know which way I was going. It was just sudden impact. Within seconds, I was exiting the garage to go back in the house. I knew kind of what happened. I was attacked by something large, and it hardly could be nothing but a bear. So, yeah, I got bit in the head, and of course...
Bit!
Ow!
Oh,
not clawed.
God.
Right. Bit.
Right. You sure you grabbed, are you sure you grabbed the spigot and not the bear's junk?
Hey!
So, exiting the garage, I came back in the house... to get a
what was the size of the mouth of that bear on your head?
Well, the game commission estimated the bear at 250 to 300 pounds, but I have a bite mark in the center of my top of my head, and then one on the forehead. Two teeth, apparently punctured me.
Right,
Jesus,
that was an attention getter.
And then, as we retrieved video Saturday evening, we have a camera on the front porch, so we backed it up. But to find out, when I came out of the garage, I plowed or tripped over the bear as I was trying to get to the sidewalk and come in. I didn't even realize I fell Thursday night.
Oh.
It was a total shock to me because it was a blur. I was only in the garage 7 seconds until I came out. And the bear was only in the garage about a minute before I entered the garage. So it was after our garbage. And he had just started to eat the garbage, as I could see. There was a hole in the garbage bag on the floor, it looked and it appeared that the bear was probably laying down, and like it was just dark enough, I could not see darkness in there as far as a black bear laying down.
Yeah.
Once it bit you in the head and you knew you had a problem, how bad was it? How bad was it bleeding?
Pretty good. It was running down my hand, down my forehead. I put a second washcloth on my head, and then I was peeking out the front door. I seen the bear walking down the driveway then.
Going...
So
that wasn't worth it.
It's like I couldn't crack that nut.
Damn it!
I was kind of glad to see what it was, though, because in the darkness in the garage,
sure.
By the size of the thing, I kind of had a good guess that it was a bear, but I'm glad I saw exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But as we returned home that evening, the game commission had a bear trap here already.
What'd they put in the bear trap?
Lots of donuts.
I was going to say, his wife's
cooking. Oh, donuts. Nice.
Right. You might catch all kinds of things.
You might catch a neighbor.
Ralph, what are you doing in there?
Seems like he didn't do anything wrong.
Right, he just was surprised.
He didn't outwardly look for someone to attack. He was just grabbing some food in the garbage.
You scared him, he scared you.
And he was startled.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it was. I startled it, and then he scared the crap out of me.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Only his was more forceful.
Yeah, a little bit.
Luckily, you don't taste good.
Yeah,
right.
That'd be a problem.
Right. Ooh, a big donut.
Well, where was your wife during all this?
Laughing.
She was sitting here in a love seat. We were watching TV that evening, and of course, she heard the terrible scream I put out, and that startled her. So she kind of met me on the front porch as I was coming in,
okay.
And I told her right away a bear got me.
And then what'd she say?
Oh, she was a wreck.
Really?
She was in a pit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had my composure somewhat, had it under control, but I had to calm her down.
She was worried it was going to ruin her car.
Right.
Exactly. Don't bleed on the carpet.
Yeah, really. I just cleaned this place. Look at you. Can you wait, bleed outside, please?
I've been in close proximity to two bears, and I don't know. It freaks me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight one of these things.
You have no idea how they're going to react either.
Seriously.
They tell you to do all these things when you're around a bear, like put your arms up, start making noise and stuff.
See how fast this happened?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's no time for any of this nonsense.
No. It's like bear,
yeah,
bite.
You're supposed to make yourself look bigger than the bear.
Right.
Yeah. I think you already were bigger. Looking at you walk in, I think it was not a huge bear, but yeah, it must have felt like it needed to defend itself.
So I was measuring your head with his mouth.
Yeah.
How big is he?
Is your wife there right now?
Yes.
Can we talk to her?
Yeah, sure. Hang on.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Wow, you're full of life. Cool.
I'm good. Hello. Better.
So what do you remember? You're watching TV, then you hear your husband scream?
Yeah, I heard him screaming. And the worst part about it was I didn't think nothing of it at first because my craft stuff is stored out there, and I thought maybe you tripped over it. Oh. So I thought, oh, no, I'm in trouble.
Now he's going to yell at me when he walks in here.
Then when I heard all the commotion, that's when I started running out the door.
And then how bad was he bleeding when you first saw him?
Oh, pretty good, yeah. It was enough to shock me.
Then what'd you do?
I thought maybe at first he was scalped. It was horrible.
Oh, right, because you can't see. Just everything's all blood.
Just blood, yeah.
Right, yeah.
And then were you the one?
It was the longest wait for the ambulance to get here, 18 minutes.
Wow. And that was rushing.
18 minutes. That seems like a long time.
It really does.
It seems like forever. Yeah, I was pacing.
They can never find our place.
Yeah, we live out in a rural area, so they can never find our place. So, of course, they went to the neighbors first.
Well, that might be another thing to address.
Yeah.
You know, try to maybe identify the, mailbox or something a little bit better.
Right, or shoot a flare gun or something.
Yeah, 911, but the address is here, but apparently they're not very well yet.
Oh, yeah.
Give a few more times. I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
I don't want another incident like this for them to figure it out, though.
No.
Gotcha.
And how's the pool? Everyone enjoying the pool now?
The bear likes it.
Yeah, it's just an inflatable one. We take it down. Our granddaughter's here a lot, so.
Yeah, good.
It's packed away.
Yeah. Thank you both for coming on. Yeah. I'm glad everything worked out.
I feel better.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Scary.
Thank you.
Lori. Lori, thank you for coming on. Yeah. John, thank you very much. Glad you're okay.
Yes.
Cop accidentally shoots lady in the leg while trying to shoot her dog.
A woman standing on her front porch. 7 on Your Side's Maureen Glisovic joins us now with the body cam footage KATV has obtained and the lawsuit filed against the deputy and the department. And be warned, you may find parts of this report disturbing.
Oh, I'm in.
Tina Height still has the bullet lodged in her shin.
Ooh.
She's now not only dealing with anxiety, but also continuous doctor's appointments. She initially called 911 for help, but instead was shot on her own front porch. Take a look.
Get back. Get your dog. I'll kill him. Get your dog. You better get that. Get your dog. I'll kill
him. Columbia County.
So wait, hold on. The first
was a warning shot.
In the air?
Yeah.
Where is this?
Arkansas,
was it?
Yeah.
Arkansas? Like 1975?
Right. Huh?
Who shoots up in the air? We all kind of figured out that whatever you shoot up in the air comes back down.
Right, like a plane. He fired a warning shot first.
The cops cursing, shooting in the air.
Right.
They're only about 75 years behind policing standards in the Northeast.
All it's missing is a Dodge Charger jumping off or something.
Yeah, 75 years might be generous.
Right.
Yeah.
Columbia County Deputy Brian Williams fires a warning shot, but that quickly escalates.
You better get back. I'll kill it.
How big is the dog?
It's a Pomeranian.
Yeah, I was curious what the dog was.
It's a Pomeranian.
There were three dogs.
Wait, really?
And the Pomeranian was rushing him, but the Pomeranian's like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
It's like just excited.
It's a living mop.
Eyes all bright, hair all bushy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe those are the dogs. I don't know.
And when he fired the warning shot, what did the dogs do?
First, they all go back to the house.
Yeah, I would too.
And then they all came back out again.
Right.
Apparently, they didn't get the message and said, okay, it was just a warning shot. Let's try this again.
Reassemble. Oh, we're all still alive.
Reassemble!
Let's go.
Right. So they all come out. So the Pomeranian.
Leading the charge, by the way, the Pomeranian.
Yeah. And the other two dogs, which are larger dogs, kind of like, I don't know what we should do this, man. I don't know. But like, we got this. It's like a Joe Pesci Pomeranian. Hey, come on. Let's go get him.
Well, all that's true. But again, she's on the porch. She's one person. There's three dogs. So she gets the big dog. And then the two other dogs run back at the officer. And then that's when he's like, I'm going to shoot one of these things.
Right.
Jesus.
Right.
This is insane.
But it continues.
Right.
Get back.
Now pay attention to the bottom right of your screen.
You better get back. I'll kill her.
Get back.
Get back. Get back.
Awful. Okay, let's just establish now it's awful so we can laugh and have a good time. Everybody lived.
Yes.
Yes.
No dogs were killed.
She has a bone in her shin. That's a free gift.
She has a bullet in her shin.
Right.
That's a little keepsake.
Yep.
Wow.
A little memento.
You got to hear his reaction.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
Yeah.
So he fires at the dog.
Right.
Yep.
But
misses
the woman. Misses.
Hits her in the shin, which is a pretty tough shot.
By the way, there were at least four people now on the porch, including his partner or his sergeant or his superior officer. So the fact that someone's not dead is a miracle.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. But her shin is.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So we'll back it up so you can hear his reaction now.
I shot who?
She's only said it five times already.
Wait, that's not the Pomeranian talking?
Oh, my God.
Well, I can't understand what she's saying.
You shot me.
You shot me.
I hear it now.
And that yell is almost like, you know, I'm melting.
It is. It's exactly her voice.
I'm melting. You wicked child, all my beauty. What a world.
Wow.
So?
Get in here.
Shot my aunt.
I didn't shoot her.
You're the only one firing
the gun. Fired a gun.
Hand the gun to the Pomeranian. Nobody else had a gun.
Yeah, right.
The Pomeranian did it.
The dog did it.
I saw the Pomeranian doing it.
Wow.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Insane.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's a Pomeranian. No one's ever been killed by a Pomeranian.
Wow.
You just kind of go poof, and then they fly.
I'm not even certain he could bite through pants.
Right. Wow.
And the Pomeranian's got to look at his face like, ooh, company. Maybe it's a treat.
Wow.
Yep.
At least he shot her in the shin.
Yes.
So if you're shooting at a Pomeranian.
Yeah, he aimed low.
He did. Aim low.
And that was a tougher shot.
Doing that right.
That was a tougher shot, so he probably should get some kind of marksmanship on that one. Because she had very thin legs. She's like a thin person, and you somehow managed to get
her
shin.
Scream.
Her scream was amazing, yes. I shot who? That was before. I shot who? I shot who? Wait a minute, I got a Pomeranian talking.
I love the immediate denial too. I didn't shoot her.
Right.
who could have possibly done it?
Right.
Where did it come from then?
I don't know, find the person who did.
I shot who?
Right. Probably the person screaming. Right.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Stunt or stupid?
Okay, we're playing Cornhole AJ. Logan Steele made a custom cornhole board for AJ. It's 60 inches high, and it's kind of leaning in such a fashion that AJ could kind of walk behind it and crouch his ass into the hole of the cornhole. And he's got a metal garbage can lid over his ass to protect it. But we have various items like golf balls and cans of corn that Ayesha May is throwing and trying to get into the cornhole, which would be AJ's butt.
Yep.
And so because of the rain, we're downstairs and in an area that's vacant in the building. And we're going to do one more round here. And Ruth's going to call the play-by-play. Ruth?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, we have reset. AJ has recovered somewhat. And Aisha's getting ready. We're going to start with the oranges. So she's ready with the first orange. She's getting ready. She's winding up. Here comes the throw. It hit the board, but then it went into the hole and it hit AJ.
Oh, wow.
Not too bad.
I was going to say, that was a lot of sound for a miss.
Yeah, so it hit the board and then rolled in. So it was a hit.
Yes. Okay, she's moving on to the frozen bananas. So she's got two bananas in her hand.
She's killed bananas, I know that.
Which one weighs more? Here she goes. She's winding up. Here's the pitch.
Oh, no! Oh. Okay.
The banana had thawed somewhat, so we got some banana on the cornhole board.
Oops.
All right, here comes the second banana. Right in the hole.
She barely touched me.
Again,
in the
ass. Banana's not. It was like a love anymore, tap. So
you had a love tap from a banana on your ass.
We move on to the golf ball. Ready for the golf ball?
Yes.
Okay. Golf ball number one.
Come on. I'm standing there doing nothing. Oh, okay, I forgot what that was on. Okay, that's one.
Is Ayesha throwing the golf balls overhand?
Five golf balls.
Jesus. Check his nuts.
Okay. Moving on.
There's a lot more success moving with the golf balls, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, cans of corn. I hate these things.
Come cans on. Of corn are heavy.
Yeah.
Now, Ruth, what's happening?
Okay, well, she just threw all of the items. She threw the cans of corn, the golf balls, the oranges, and the now thawed bananas.
All right, very nice. We don't have a total score of what happened there, but no one was really keeping score. It was all about just cornholing AJ.
We'll have to gauge by how comfortable he is when he sits down.
Right. All right. Well, thank Howard and Howard with Logan Steele for us, please.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for what you did. Appreciate this. It's a beautiful board. Thanks for throwing. Thanks for having something to throw my ass.
Did you take one to the head?
No, but my head. I've been bent down the whole time. The blood's been rushing my head the whole time. By the way, my thighs are burning.
All right. Thanks to Logan Steele and Meriden Howard. And Howard built a beautiful cornhole board for AJ. That was terrific, Con.
It was terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know,
it was
right there.
Terrific.
Yeah. No, I heard great feedback.
You guys did a fantastic job covering it, by the way. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ruth was there. AJ was there. Stormtrooper.
Vince Barry.
Vince Barry was there. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Saw everybody.
No, I've heard good things. Yeah. I heard this is one of your best ones.
I heard
you agree with that?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah. Oh, it was the biggest and the best we've done so far, which is always a curse because now you got to top yourself. It's like, oh, gee, I don't know. I'm going to do this again. Now what am I going to do? So next year, you got to be there dressed as a stormtrooper.
Nice.
You
know,
you were there, weren't you?
That's right.
Yeah.
I was there. Didn't you see me?
Didn't
I
see
thought
me?
So, because one of them smacked me back in the head. That was when you.
That was you. Yeah.
All right. Out of the way, dumbass.
No.
I wouldn't smack you.
No.
I'd flick you in the beans.
Speaking of that, you haven't lived. You know, there's a Western comedy club there called Comics Roadhouse.
Yeah.
It's over at Mohegan Sun.
Yes.
So afterwards, the show's over. Everybody goes there, has a drink, has a good time. They got music and all that stuff. You've never seen awkwardness until you see guys in stormtrooper uniforms, which is fine. They're having a good time in the bar. Everyone's taking pictures
but
with
the
them all.
But the cantina scene almost.
No, it gets worse. I go to the men's room.
Yeah, huh?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, like Darth Vader?
No, you go to the urinal. I mean, we get a little gross here. You know, you stand in front of a urinal. You got to do your stuff. Not when there's two stormtroopers standing there, and one guy goes, "Dude, I can't open my codpiece. I gotta go." And it's like, and everybody in the bar and everybody in the bathroom is just kind of, we don't know what's gonna happen.
Right.
Friends so, you know, helping friends.
Yeah, right. And the other guy's like, "Dude, hold on, dude." Right. And they're all like in their helmets and everything, and they got that robotic sound with the amplifier thing. And they're "Dude, I'll feel it better. I can't feel it. It's going. I'm going." And I'm like, "Did you?" And it's one of those things when you're sitting there, you go, "When I woke up today." Did I think I was going to be standing in the men's room at the Comics Roadhouse next to a stormtrooper with a bad bladder? But no, it happened.
It could have been worse. You could have been standing here, "I am your father."
Yeah.
But that happened.
Yeah, wow.
Well, and then, you know, You're hoping when you're in a costume like that that you're making it out of the costume and into the urinal.
Yes.
In time.
You never know.
If not, you're a stormtrooper with a leaky gasket or something.
Yeah. You hear a squishing sound?
Yeah, you got a little oil leak there.
Got a mechanical issue.
Yeah, you lose the fluid, pal.
Yeah, their peripheral vision's not the best with that, so you really can't see what's going on. You got to hear the splash and hope everything's going.
And hope to put it all back in again. Yeah.
No, yeah, so we had some other stuff. But
there are a lot of costumes all weekend. I know Sunday's the costume day,
that's
right?
That's the costume contest.
Saturday,
that's where they all come
like
up.
Like when Ruth and AJ were there, it was...
Yeah.
It looked like everybody was dressed up.
Yep.
Yeah. There was Jedi Knight training, which is always fun. It's designed for little kids, but when you see the adults getting into it, and they're like, I'm like, you know, it's not real. But they're like, when they're all making the noises, they're all doing meditation and stuff. It's
and the 37.
Yeah. Well, 37.
Oh, yeah.
That was the younger crowd. No, yeah. I saw the older ones.
And some of the costume people get a little uppity because one goes, who are you supposed to be? I'm like, nothing special.
No.
What are you supposed to be?
Who are you supposed to be?
Who are you supposed to be?
What are you supposed to be? Well, there's that too. But yeah, it's something else there, though. But, you know, and then you get the extreme people. Do you remember a toy when you were little called Stretch Armstrong?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Right, right?
We all played it the same way.
Yeah, you all pulled it apart and stuff. But there was like corn syrup inside of it. That's what it's a little plastic doll.
I never dissected mine, but okay.
But no, I found out because this is what you find out at Terrificon. No. So it was this little plastic doll for Ruth and all the people under 50 that don't know what I'm talking about. Right. And you would pull the arms and legs and it would stretch. And there was a knockoff company called Mego. They were out of Long Island. They made superhero toys.
Yeah.
So they made a Hulk one in 1978. It was called like Super Elastic Hulk Plastic or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's been like, what, 50-something years? These guys are talking about how they keep it, you know,
pristine.
Still pliable and pristine. So I'm overhearing this conversation. No, you got to get the KY, dude. You got to loop that thing up if you really want the Hulk to still keep flexible. And I'm like, did they really think when they were making this toy back in 1978 that someday these grown men would be sitting there arguing about how to keep it
how to keep your
stretchy?
Flexible.
Which lube is the proper application?
Exactly. And you wonder how the guy even found that out.
Right.
You know?
I don't wonder.
It only works when I'm angry.
See, I would love to see the video of like girls playing with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just to see what they would do with it.
Right.
It was a guy who was in excellent condition with no shirt.
Like a wrestler.
And his arms were up like this. Yeah. And so what boys would do with it is, AJ, you grab the feet.
Right.
I'm grabbing the arms.
Yep.
Don't let go.
Right. Don't
let go. Let's see how long we could stretch this out. And then someone always lets go.
Of course.
Right. It's like a big rubber band.
There's 15 attempts back and forth of who's letting go first.
Yeah.
And then it's finally like, okay, we're going to stretch this all the way across the room.
And the whole point is make sure your friend is right by the stairs.
Yeah.
Big Chris, what's your thought?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Listen, I went to a class reunion, a dual class reunion. Buddy of mine and I won this raffle where he got these toys, eclectic toys. He's no longer here. God bless you, JC. Anyway, I got the Rock'em Sock'em Robot, and
nice.
He got the Light Bright.
Light Bright.
Battleship. So I think what would be really cool is to have folks, because I'm 60. So people younger, older, bring your eclectic toy. And just have a toy-a-thon.
Oh.
Toy-a-thon.
Right. Cool. Like all original issues.
Like an adult
stuff.
Daycare type of thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
Both juice boxes.
Would you have a room set aside for adults to go play with their toys?
Nice.
Yeah. A bunch of Legos all over the floor. You have to run right barefoot across it, you know?
Right. Yeah, be a parent.
Get some of those lawn darts we had in the 70s and start throwing, see who your friend is.
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, all the metal Tonka.
The metal Tonka so you get lockjaw. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, buddy.
I like it.
He's writing down the idea.
I am. Right there. I'm invisible ink.
He's filing it, yes.
Put that in lemon juice.
I liked it.
Yeah. Mitch Halleck, King of the Nerds here. Terrificon. Another successful one.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe the most successful one.
That's what they're telling me. Yeah.
How many celebrities did you have there?
Oh, this year we went in the smorgasbord.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, huge. It was like, you know, Mason Reese stuff. It was tons of people. We had 40-something, including wrestlers. We had soap opera stars. We had movie actors. We had TV actors. Voice actors, you name it, they were there. Jerry O'Connell was there. He gave some time up.
And he wasn't even there.
No. He was
hired by you. He was there with his wife.
Just correct. Hanging. Yeah. He didn't have a banner. He wasn't sitting there autographing for money or anything like that. He was there because his wife, Rebecca Romijn, supermodel, actress, was there as a featured guest, and then Jerry just walked the line.
Yeah.
And people did a double take. They're like, "Huh, wait, that's the chubby kid from Stand By Me."
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on? Right. Why is he here?
I remember he tapped my chest and said, "Stay away from her."
Yeah. So, he was really cool to hang out with everybody this weekend. But I tell you, some of the guests are cool, and I love being with them. Some of them get on my nerve. Remember the movie Flash Gordon?
Yes.
Sam Jones?
Yeah.
Big guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
He's cool, but Flash now when he calls Gordon. You, like, 30
minutes. Did you see Flash Gordon, AJ?
I didn't see it, but I know of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one Queen did the song,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. The music's the best part.
Right. Yeah.
That's about it. But he was also in Ted. Remember the little talking teddy bear type of thing?
Yeah.
He was in that movie. He played like a crazy minister.
Right.
But he wants to come back to Terrificon. He's been there twice already.
Uh-huh.
But I like to rotate out the guests because you don't want to have stale, you go to the grocery store. You got to change it up a bit. You know, get some variety in there. But he just keeps calling me. So I actually had to block him on my phone.
Wow.
Yeah, and my friends are like, "Dude, you blocked Flash Gordon." I'm like, "Yeah, I did what."
That's pretty amazing.
Not so fast, is he?
I did what Ming the Merciless couldn't
do. That's when you know you're king of the nerds.
Yeah,
it's like Flash Gordon, block him.
Lou Ferrigno, block.
Oh my God,
I don't need this. Yeah, no.
Do you know
who
Lou Ferrigno is?
I know who that is.
Yeah.
Ooh,
he played the Hulk on television.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Big green guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
I know the Hulk. I'm a nerd. I have a Star Wars tattoo.
Major bodybuilder.
Wow.
Major bodybuilder.
Yeah, until he starts yelling at you because there's no blueberry muffins. Dude had like a freaking whole farm stand in front of him, food and protein and all this because he works out all the time. He's still like 72 and he's in good shape.
Yeah.
But then he goes, "Can I get a blueberry muffin?" I'm like, "I don't know."
But he doesn't sound like that. He's like,
he's 95% deaf.
Right.
Let's not make fun of the man's affliction. But anyway,
he's deaf. I do this all the time, right? I make fun of his voice, and then someone reminds me he's deaf, and I'm like, "Oh, damn."
Sorry. I thought he just didn't want to talk to me. That's how I found out. We're in the limo.
That's a better story.
No, we're in the limo, and he's sitting next to me. I'm like, "Oh, so what was it like working with Bill Bixby, and what did you like? How's the green makeup?" And he nothing. And I'm like, "Hey, man, what the hell?
You rude bastard.
I paid you to be here. Come on, bro. You can, be a little smart." And the whole time he's looking out the windows, we're driving back from the Bradley Airport, and I'm going on, and he's not saying a word to me. I'm like, "What the hell?" Right. Then it finally, turns, and he goes, "Can we get breakfast?" I'm like, wait. Didn't you? He goes, "I can't hear. I'm deaf, you know." I'm like, "Oh.
God, I knew that.
Now I know why.
I
didn't know. I thought you were just being rude."
Right. That makes sense.
He's not a bastard.
No, he's not a mean guy. He just didn't hear me.
Yeah.
Then he starts telling me bad stories about Arnold Schwarzenegger all day.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, they have a thing.
About 50 years, they got this feud still going on.
Yeah,
No. So we got Hulk stories. I got this story. I got that story. But the weirdest story, I think, of the whole show, Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
Sean Patrick Flannery. He was young Indiana Jones, big hero of mine, Indiana Jones. He tells about when he goes to an audition that you have to psych the other actors out so you get the part. You want to be the guy that gets cast in the movie and makes the money.
Yeah.
So he's all nervous. He's getting ready to do the Boondock Saints, audition. So he gets up and he goes to the bathroom, make sure he relieves his bladder before anything. So he's not nervous about it, So he's there, and then who comes up to him but the guy who's eventually going to be in the movie, Norman Reedus, who was on Walking Dead as well.
Right, okay. They're brothers in the
movie, but they don't know each other yet.
Yeah.
They're at the open audition. So Norman Reedus just saddles up right next to him at the urinal. And, kind of close. And there's some etiquette. You don't know this, but guys know when you're in the bathroom, you kind of do your stuff and you don't look around.
Look straight ahead.
It does.
Don't address anybody.
So you don't address anybody. Correct. So Norman Reedus.
I don't talk to anyone either.
Nope.
No, Norman Reedus comes right up.
I just think it's weird to talk to someone when I have my penis in my hand.
Wait, people talk to each other?
No. So that's what happens.
Sometimes people do.
Yeah, they'll start and I'll just pretend to look out the window and I'm deaf, I can't hear them.
I just stare at the tile until it actually moves.
No. So Flannery says he's there, he's almost done, and next thing you know, Reedus kind of pushes his head towards him and gets in front of him and looks down into the urinal. And Flannery's like, "What's going on?" He goes, "Nice penis." And he walks out of the room. That threw Flannery off his game a bit.
Hung like a donkey.
A horse.
Right. And you hear that, you're like, damn it.
Right.
Yeah. So then he goes out, and now they're calling him up. And the casting director's like, "Okay, you two guys next." And he's like, wait,
this guy?
That guy?
Oh,
that
no.
guy?
No. So I was in the bathroom on Sunday morning before the show, and here comes Flannery walking. I just zipped up and got the hell out of there.
I hope you were finished. He's like, "I'd rather pee myself." So who's next year?
I was just talking out loud to you about some of the people. You want to get a crossover guy that's like appeals to different interests and stuff. And honestly, on my list for years, I've had Alice Cooper. I'll see if I can get him. But the reason why is because he did comics when I was a kid. He wrote comics, but you know, his stage performance is very theatrical, obviously, you know. And he's been around so long, he's got fans from every generation. He's been, 70s, 80s, 90s.
That would be a big one.
Right?
That's huge.
So, yeah, that would be kind of cool to get him.
But what do you, what do these people cost? Like,
well, it depends on the, you know, like.
What about Luke Skywalker?
Oh, he's a couple $100,000.
Really?
Yeah.
For 2 days?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems like a lot. But if it sold enough tickets, it would make sense.
If it sold enough tickets, yeah,
but
absolutely.
You don't know.
No, you don't know. See, the people don't get that. See, I have people come up to me when I go to tell them it's at Mohegan Sun every year. They go, oh, do you gamble? What, like slot machines and dice and stuff? Yeah, no, I don't do that. I was going to say, do you want to know how it works? It's called a guarantee. And I know people don't understand what that means. It's like the celebrities are great. They love their fans. But a lot of these folks don't do it because they love their fans.
No.
There's money involved. There's contracts involved. So if you say, I'm guaranteed to make $200,000, that means when that gentleman leaves that show, no matter what, it's kind of like Tony Soprano. You had the guy on earlier. It's like, hey, where's my money?
Yeah.
So if he only sells like $120,000 worth of autographs and photos, then Uncle Mitchie here has to cough up $80,000.
Yeah.
And I'm not a money tree. You know what I mean? It doesn't fall out of the sky.
So that's how you would make your money off of him.
I would sell tickets to the show. People would come to see him, and then he makes his money by selling autographs and photographs and all that stuff.
See,
yes.
So the guarantee is either it comes from selling autographs
or it comes from you. Yeah.
The balance comes
from guaranteed
you.
To walk out of there with $100,000.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's scary. That's what I look like I do.
He almost seems like maybe he wouldn't be. What would someone like Arnold?
Oh, that's like 300 something thousand a day.
That'd be worth it, though, no?
That's a lot of autographs.
I mean, no. I'm guessing it means no.
But they're not cheap autographs. I think he was like a couple $100 an autograph. Like, I know when Stallone was at New York Comic Con years ago, it was like $350 for an autograph, $350 for a photograph, so $700 for the whole package.
Wow.
Dude, for $700, you better clean my gutters. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Rocky's fun and
like
all.
We $50 bucks each for that stuff at your place.
But they're icons.
Yeah.
Those are big names.
Yeah.
You could say I met Stallone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're like cardboard cutouts.
Who else are you thinking about?
For next year?
Patrick Stewart from Trek Next Generation?
He used to do a lot of shows, but he's also 81 now, so I talked to his management, and they go, you know, last couple of years, some folks are like...
He's just dialing it down.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes,
absolutely, please.
I don't know how to say his last name. It's Stephen Yeon.
He was on The Walking Dead.
Well, Invincible.
He plays the voice.
Invincible.
That's right.
Great comic book. They made it in an animated series.
We had the artist from Invincible
really?
At the
That's
show.
Cool.
Yeah, Ryan Otley.
Who
created it. Yes, Stephen Yeun.
What about him?
Could you get
Glenn? He was Glenn.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get him.
Oh, Glenn.
Yeah.
So he voices.
We had the other Walking Dead guys there. The other guy got his head bashed in. Mike Cutlets.
Oh, yeah.
He was there.
Abraham. Oh, my God.
Abraham.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Band of Brothers and stuff.
Oh, cool.
You should get Jason Momoa.
My wife, are you kidding me? That's all she wants.
No.
He used to be very inexpensive. Jason Momoa, but then Aquaman came and made $1 billion because before he was Game of Thrones guy, he wasn't that expensive. But once they start getting those $1 billion I'll tell you a story now. Chadwick Boseman, God rest his soul, is the Black Panther.
Yes.
Before the movie came out, I started talking to his people. Now, he'd been in movies about like Jackie Robinson's story and all that. He was like $60,000, $70,000. I'm like, that's not so bad for 3 days. And the Black Panther hadn't come out yet.
Right.
So I remember talking to Mohegan Sun. And at the time, I'm like, well, this is a pretty hefty payday. And, you know, he's kind of unproven. So maybe we should. They're like, I don't know, bro. That's a lot of money for a guy. Like, who, you know, he's not a household name. So I passed on it.
Oops.
In December.
The trailer comes out.
The movie comes out in February of the following 2 months later. $1 billion box office, worldwide phenomenon, Black Panther. I call these people back up. I go, hey, Remember me?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
how much would it be to get Chadwick? It was a private jet and $250,000 for the 2 days.
So you had him before.
I had him in my hand.
Locked in.
I passed because they're like, 60 is a lot of money, man.
Yeah, who said that, Mohegan?
No. Well, we were talking about it. I was like, do you think I should invest? They're like,
okay.
Why don't you?
They just gave you their opinion.
They were like, you know.
Seems like
I remember Keanu Reeves. I tried getting Keanu Reeves before John Wick became a thing. Oh. And people were like, Keanu Reeves, Bill and Ted guy?
Matrix,
really?
Come on.
Yeah, Matrix, but exactly. Matrix was 20-something years ago. And at the time, they were like, I don't know. What do you think? And I'm like, that's literally what it is. It depends on who you talk to. Because I'm in a room with my friends. They're all in their 50s. And they're all like, you should go get Lee Majors. And my wife's like,
I don't even know who that is.
See? Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Seriously.
You should. Well, I got Eric Estrada coming next year.
Nice.
See? You know who
I'm
it
there.
Is.
I've
and Larry
Punch.
Wilcox.
I've nice.
Never
See?
Heard of these.
Cool.
She has no idea who we're talking about.
You chips. Know, yeah. The original chips.
The word chips means nothing to you,
Well,
suppose?
No, that's the police, the right? The two buddy cops, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
California
yeah.
Highway Patrolman.
Yeah, they
remade the movie, like with Dax, whatever.
Oh, God.
Right.
Yeah.
It was crappy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crap. You got to watch the original stuff.
Okay, all right.
Poncherella.
Back and we're going to pitch some ideas.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
the tribe's
absolutely,
starting to call
man.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. I want to hear what they want to see. You know,
makes well, congratulations, life easy. Man. We remember when you were doing this in
my basement when my mom baking cookies upstairs. Yeah,
that's right.
My friends
now
would come
look,
over.
Yeah, all successful.
Right? Peanut butter fortress down there.
It was cookies.
Yeah,
there was cookies.
We're linked up to all things metallic on the radio station website.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.